It's only a couple of weeks ago that we had a corona outbreak in China. And of course, the whole world was eagerly watching how big that would become in the entire world, not only in China. In the meantime, we got infections in Europe, even in the Netherlands, particularly in the Brabant region. And then, of course, we would like to know how to interpret the early statistics. And that's exactly the job of Professor Edwin van den Heuvel at the mathematics department here at TU Eindhoven. Edwin, it's a job for you to interpret statistics. What can we say?
Yes, thank you. So what we have tried to do is we have tried to look at the data of these reported numbers. These are, let's say, the confirmed cases that are reported by the governments. These are collected and we take the data and try to analyze this. We started first in China to look at the data of China, because that was data that has been longer investigated or collected, to see how we could actually model the number of infections and also if we could model the number of deaths. And what we found out is that we could use certain models that has been used a long time ago, where we try to predict essentially the growth or the maximum number of our population, how big will a country become with their inhabitants. And those models were logistic curve models developed by Verhulst, a Belgian statistician. And those models seem to fit quite well to the data of China.
And as far as I know statistics, there is always the problem that you must not only predict or use the model, but also have the parameters of the model. But if a population behaves different, if China uses more protective measures, keeps everyone at home earlier, these parameters are very different. Do they apply to Europe as well, or what is different?
Now, what we saw, because we analyzed not just China as a whole, but we also analyzed China at each of the provinces. And you do see differences between the provinces. You see differences in the way that the growth, the speed of growth changes from province to province. There is, of course, one very unique province in China where it started, which is Hubei, which has a dramatically different number of infections and deaths than all of the other provinces together. I think probably that the way that the government interfered had probably a good effect. But still, all of these provinces seem to have some slight differences in the way that they grow, differences in their maximum number of infections, what is reported again, and also in, let's say, the moment in which this curve seemed to change from growth to slowly delaying the growth.
That's, of course, the moment that everyone is waiting for. So I can imagine that many people are day by day watching the curves published by Eindhoven University of Technology. But the difficulty may be that in Holland we appear to have some kind of a shortage in test tubes for the corona. Yeah. So if we see this decline of the growth, we may be very happy because the disease may seem to spread less, while in fact we are running out of test tubes.
Yeah. So if we start reducing the number of tests dramatically, that means that this will affect the data that we collect. It will not affect what is happening in the country, in that sense. But that can certainly affect the models that we are fitting. And it is important, I think, that we keep having a kind of a procedure and a way of testing, that we keep on doing this exactly the same thing, so that at least we get the same numbers every time. And I understand that that's going to be more difficult. If the numbers grow, we have to do more tests. So there might be an issue there. Mm-hmm. That is very difficult to predict based on what we get at this moment.
Now, there may also be a dilemma when you publish these results for the public. You like to score by predicting exactly the numbers that that RIVM, the health authorities, will come up with. But that may not be the exact numbers of the infections. We know that they underestimate.
Yes.
I can also imagine that you would, in fact, prefer to publish the real numbers, but those are not the ones that we could check and verify with the official numbers.
No, we don't know. We don't know those numbers. So what we need essentially is to actually get more details on how many tests people are doing and how many of those tests are negative. And we might want to see more clearly what they are doing on their policies of testing And maybe then on that type of data, we could start thinking about whether or not we should correct the numbers of the pictures to say, okay, this is the official number of the curves or the reported the number from the test. But this is a way how we can maybe extrapolate the number to the whole population. At this moment, we can't. We're only modeling the confirmed cases. And that we have no idea at this moment how big the problem really is in any of these countries.
Thanks. I would also like to check with you a news item on Dutch public television yesterday, where, according to news media, the intention of Dutch policy was to avoid that the peak is too large, such that the care system cannot handle it. Then a question that I got immediately, if you change the behavior and you shift the peak backwards to spread it more, the total number of infected cases and the total number of people who potentially run a risk, does that also change? I mean, you with your background in solving the differential equations and seeing the details, what is your expectation there? Is it only shifting the peak or is it also reducing the total impact?
One of the problems with what we're doing or what is going on is that we're essentially modeling the rate of a number of infections or the number of deaths based on the official numbers. The question is, of course, at a certain moment you see in the curve, in the beginning of the curve, you see essentially that it slowly develops and then it quickly goes up. I think with policies, you can probably make sure that the spread among people might be reduced if you take severe measures. And I think that's what you can see maybe in what's happened in China again, because these provinces have really much lower numbers. And I think that is probably partly due to the way that the government has been acting and maybe also how people behave itself, yes? Mm-hmm. So I think it has an effect.
Well, in fact, the World Health Organization was expecting that a large proportion of the entire world population would in the end possibly be infected. What I hear you more or less say that by carefully acting, you can avoid that percentage grows to outrageous numbers.
Yeah, but so I'm not an expert in, let's say, how this would be. So there are these models of how these viruses can spread around people. So we haven't been looking into that, so we don't know exactly how that works. But the question is, of course, also probably this works best when you are in the beginning of this spread. And I think that when at a certain moment there are many infections, it's much more difficult, I think, to diminish or influence that number. Because the tests are here and there are not everybody is tested and there might be a lot of people already talking to each other. So this contamination might have been going on for quite a while. And then if the numbers are high, I'm not sure what you can still do. Yeah.
But at least you can predict it with the mathematical models that you are developing. Professor Edwin van der Heuvel, thank you very much.
You're welcome.